are looking at a passage from Galatians this morning, Galatians chapter 1. We finished the last series, and we haven't started a new one yet. And I will tell you why I'm doing this sermon. A few months ago, I got an email from someone who had a theological question, and essentially the premise of the email was, I have always been taught this, but I'm now questioning it because I saw a dude on TikTok. And so I emailed the person back and I said, well, the person on TikTok, what was their theological background? What are their credentials? And the response was, their credentials are they're on TikTok. And I sent back, 11-year-old girls are on TikTok. And they sent back, that's not who I'm quoting. And at this point, I realize I'm now going to have to deal with theological questions based on a TikTok theologian who has no credentials to discuss theology on TikTok, which, according to what I found out, you don't need. So one of the things that kind of got my attention to this, and I've been kind of wanting to preach on this passage a little bit for the last month, is most people's attitude today about theology is it doesn't matter. If you just love Jesus, that's all that matters. How many of you have heard someone say that? If you just love Jesus, that's all that matters. Okay. All right. So I want you to listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to start, he said, in verse 6. Now, if you're curious later and you want to go back and read verses 1 through 5 just to fact check me, you're welcome to do that. But in verse 6, Paul starts by saying, I am amazed that you so quickly are deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Okay. Now, before we get into what Paul actually says in verse 6, something, and I'll be honest with you, I'd not really noticed this until I was studying this text. If you look in all of Paul's letters to the churches, to Ephesians, Philippians, even 1 Corinthians, and if you ask most people what was the most messed up church that Paul ever wrote a letter to, most people would agree, the Corinthians, they were a dumpster fire, and they were. But in every single letter Paul writes to a church, he starts with how much he loves them, how much he prays for them, how proud of them he is. Guess what the one exception to that is? Galatians. The first five verses of Galatians are Paul giving his credentials, Paul an apostle of Christ, not an apostle of men. And if you want to go back and look, he doesn't talk about the Galatians at all. He talks about himself giving his credentials and his qualifications to address this issue. There's no, hey guys, I love you, you're awesome, I pray for you, but he didn't do any of that. This is the only letter that Paul wrote that we have access to a church, where he doesn't start with telling them how much he loves them. He gets right into it and he gets aggressive right off the start. And so what would you think that should tell us about Paul's mindset about what's happening in the Galatian church? It must be pretty serious, right? It must be pretty serious. If you go to 1 Corinthians, Paul said, he talks about how much he loves him and prays for him, and then he talks about division in the church. Right off the bat, he starts talking about, I've heard there's division among you, and I believe it. And that's how but before he even talked about the division, he talked about how much he loved him and prayed for him. He doesn't do that here, which probably should signify to us the seriousness of this issue. Now, here's why that's important. We have adopted in our culture a belief that this doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. Now, I want you to notice that the people in Galatia who are causing the problems are not trying to lead people away from Jesus. They're just lying about Jesus and what he believed and what he taught. And today, we don't think that's a problem. If somebody loves Jesus, that's all that matters, right? If you just love Jesus, that's all that matters. You don't have to get anything right. You just have to love Jesus. I've heard a million times people tell me about some sermon they heard or some online minister or some television minister. And it's like, Stuart, they really love Jesus. I'm like, yeah, but what they telling you, is it true? Well, Stuart, they love Jesus. Okay, I want to say this as clearly and as politely as I can. I don't care if they love Jesus. If they don't love the right Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But that is our go-to phrase. Well, just that they just love Jesus. They just loved him so much. They loved him so much. How many of you have ever thought you knew somebody and you liked the person you thought you knew, and then when you got to really know him, you realized you didn't like him at all? There's probably a lot of us that have had that happen. It's like, man, I really like that person. You must not know them very well. Some of you are going, looking at him. And I will freely admit there have probably been some people over the years that liked me and then later didn't. That's okay. That happens. It's happened to all of us. There are people all over this country that are in love with a Jesus that never existed. Never existed. Because the Jesus they're in love with and the teachings they're in love with, he never taught. He never taught those things. But I heard it. I heard it on TikTok. I heard it on YouTube. It must be true. We were doing a Bible study one time, and somebody I said something, and somebody said to me in the Bible study, said, "Well, my commentary says something different." And I said, "Okay, who wrote your commentary?" And well, I don't know. So you don't know who wrote it? No. Do you know what their qualifications were? Do you know what their background is? You know what kind of theological school they went to? Do you know anything about them? Nope. Well, why do you assume they're right? Well, because they wrote a commentary. Some of you ask, Stuart, what are you going to do when you retire? I think I'm going to write a commentary. Big Dog's version of the New Testament. Mo will buy it. Mo's like, sign me up. First copy. I'll autograph it for you, Mo. Big Dog's version of the New Testament. I'll be right on some stuff. I might be wrong on some stuff. I try to get it all right. But here's the thing. We have this cultural viewpoint now that, don't confuse me with facts. Don't confuse me with details. I just want a version of Jesus that makes me feel good. I want a version of Jesus where I don't really have to change who I am, because this is one of our favorite lines. He loves you just like you are. That is very true. He does. But guess what else he wants you to do? He wants you to become more like him. And you can't be like you and like him at the same time, because you ain't him. So I want you to, let's get into the actual text now and see what he's addressing. He says, I'm amazed that you so quickly have deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So he says, what's happened? People have come in behind me and Barnabas, and they have started teaching you things which are not true. Now, why do you think people are buying what these people are teaching? What? It sounds good, right? It sounds good. How many of you know someone? And by the way, don't yell a name out and don't stare at anyone, because that's bad form. How many of you know a person who will ask advice until they get the advice they want from somebody? Anybody know anybody like that? Just ask people. So what do you think I should do? I think you should do this. What do you think I should do? You know, and you just keep asking people. Somebody tells you what you want to hear. You're like, there we go. That's what I wanted to hear. And that's what people do with Jesus sometimes. And so Paul says, you know, these people have come in and they're telling people, hey, listen, that stuff Paul and Barnabas told you, don't listen to that. You don't have to change. You can still follow the law and be a Christian. You don't have to choose. You can still be a Jew and do the sacrifices, all that stuff. He told you that you can't worship Jesus and Zeus. Sure you can. You can do both. You can do these things that you were doing and still love Jesus. And so they're coming in there telling people this, and people eat it up. They want to hear it. There is always a gospel that we want to hear. But the overarching question is always this. Is it true? Some of you may be thinking, he's preaching this sermon the first Sunday of Pride Month. That was not on purpose, by the way. That's what was that art guy with the afro? Bob Ross? That's what Bob Ross would call a happy accident. Not intentional, but if you think it's intentional, I'm okay with that. This is the world we live in, though. Well, Jesus, I worship a Jesus who believes this. Well, I worship a Jesus that... No, you don't. There's one gospel. There's one gospel. And Paul says, I'm amazed that you have so quickly deviated from it. You've so quickly gone away from it to a different gospel. He said, which in reality, not really another... There are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel. Now, why would people want to distort the gospel? So what? So they can be right. Let me ask you a question. In this modern world, how do you attract followers? You tell them what? What they want to hear. You tell them what they want to hear. You see this every election cycle, right? Politician stands up, and let me be exceptionally clear, regardless of party affiliation, they will stand up and they will tell you exactly not what they think, but what they think you think. And they will tell you what you want to hear. Now, you guys know as well as I do. I do not like to get into politics in the pulpit. I don't. Okay? So I'm just going to throw this out there. The number of Christians who have convinced themselves that Donald Trump is a devout Christian is terrifying to me. If you see the things he does and you listen to the things he says... And then you convince yourself, that's a devout man right there. You should seek therapy. Now, does he espouse conservative values? Yes. Are there plenty of people who espouse conservative values that aren't Christian? Yes. So you could like the values, but don't try to make him something he's not. Now, let me ask you a question. Why have people tried to sell him like that? To church people. So church people will vote for him. And by the way, is he the first politician to ever do this? No, if you go back 1984, one of my favorite quotes of Al Gore that has nothing to do with weather. Al Gore stands up at the Democratic National Convention and he uttered these words. By the way, I'm talking about Al Gore now, so we have equal time for both parties so nobody accuses me of anything after church. Al Gore stands up and says, it's time for the Democratic Party to take back Jesus. Like, you better hope Jesus will take you back. That's not how this works. Now, why would he say that? Because what did he recognize? That conservative evangelicals were starting to move further and further away from his party. And so he gets up and he wants everybody to believe, oh, no, no, we're the party of Christianity. Politicians have been doing this forever. And that's fine. I don't care. And by the way, I don't care who you vote for. But as a minister, I do care when church people start to believe propaganda, which is clearly not true. It makes us look gullible and foolish. Just like when we get online and we listen to some TikTok theologian that has no background or we don't know anything about them. But man, well, they said it on the internet, so it must be true. I think Abraham Lincoln said that. If Paul was writing to the modern church in America, how much of this do you think he'd say to us? I'm amazed at how many of you have abandoned the gospel for a different gospel. And by the way, Paul prophesied this. Do any of you remember what he told Timothy about this? He said, there will come a day when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but will follow whatever is taught that tickles their itching ears. We want to hear a gospel that makes us feel good about what we already believe, not what we should believe. And it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. We still fight these battles. And by the way, let me make something abundantly clear to you. Satan is not stupid. Satan is not stupid. And you know what Satan understands about believers? It's easier to get them to believe a false gospel than to stop believing the gospel at all. Does that make sense? Satan goes, these people, they love Jesus. I'm not going to stop them from loving Jesus because they're all into Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get them to love a Jesus who doesn't exist. I'm going to get them to follow Jesus' teachings that he never taught. I'm going to get them to quote Jesus on things he never said and tell people that Jesus thinks this when he never thought it. And that way, they still think they love Jesus, but they're following something totally different that doesn't even remotely look like Jesus. Let's go to that next verse. Listen to verse 8. I cannot stress the significance of a statement like this from Paul. He said, even if we, now the we here is probably a reference to Paul and Barnabas, because they are the ones who had been in that church before. Even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Now, the Greek word for accursed is called anathema. And anathema means eternally punished. Okay? Now, I want you to think about the weight of that statement. He said, if an angel walked into your room, and however you picture an angel, big old halo, wings, whatever, flaming sword. He says, if an angel showed up in front of you and started teaching you a gospel that's different than the one you've heard, what should you do to him? You let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. Now, let me ask you a question. If an angel showed up to you tonight and told you that you were following the wrong Jesus, would you listen to the angel? Because guess what? Paul says, you shouldn't. Paul says if you're following the gospel, if even an angel should show up to you and starts telling you, oh, no, I've got a different gospel. By the way, does this sound familiar? Do we have a religion in this country that's based on an angel coming and telling somebody a different gospel? Yeah, I think we do. I'm not saying names. I don't want to get banned on Facebook. So we're not going to call names, but there's a whole religion based on that whole concept that an angel came and gave him a whole New Testament. Now here's what's funny. What has Paul already told us in Scripture? If that happens, what are you supposed to do? Don't believe it. Don't listen to it. Let that angel be accursed because he's a false prophet. He's a false angel. He's lying to you. Now here's the funny thing. Our standard for believing something different is so low, it doesn't need to be an angel. It just needs to be somebody on the internet. It's somebody on YouTube, Facebook. Somebody writes something on Facebook. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah, well, you know why you didn't know that? Because it wasn't true. But that's all you need is a platform. Now, why are we so inclined to believe these things? Why are there so many people in this country who believe things which are biblically completely untrue?
That was the first sin. That was Adam's sin.
It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? Eve, that fruit looks really good. Yep, can't eat it. Why? You'll die. No, you won't. No, God said we die. Yeah, you won't die. First false teacher in the garden. And we've been like that ever since. Here's the problem. We like to follow things that make us feel good. There was a very prominent megachurch pastor who pivoted several years ago and started teaching that there was no hell. Started teaching he didn't believe there was a hell. And that everybody was going to be saved. And somebody asked him why he started teaching that. What do you suppose his answer was? I sleep better at night believing that everyone is going to heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Would you sleep better tonight if you thought everybody you knew was going to go to heaven? Some people go, nah, man, I sleep just fine. I mean, I think most of us like the sound of that, right? We like the sound of that. We like the, man, you know what? I'd love a world where everybody's going to heaven. And this universalism concept that everybody's saved and everybody's going to heaven. And you know what? And this is something that the great theologian Oprah used to teach. Some of you remember her theology. Many roads to heaven. There's the Hindu road, the Muslim road, the Christian road. Bull. Now, some of you go, Stuart, you're just being mean. No. What did Jesus out of his own mouth say? No, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, except how? By me. He doesn't say just the well-meaning people come to the Father some different way. He says no one is getting to the Father unless they come through me. And people go, oh, but Stuart, that's hateful. Any of you wonder how you would have turned out if your parents had never kept you from doing stupid things? I'm sure my father was incredibly hateful the first time I tried to stick a fork into an electrical outlet. Now some of you are going, Stuart, why would you do that? Because I was three and I was loose. And so, you know, it's like, hey, I want to, and by the way, just so you know, I had to stop that one from doing it once. And by the way, just a little fun fact about Caleb. When he started crawling, he crawled backwards. So he backed up to the electrical socket, and I just was sitting on the couch, and I was watching him. I looked, and all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa! I don't even know what he was getting ready to stick in there, but he was getting ready to fry some circuits, his and the house. I ran over, and I smacked it out of his hand, and you know what he did? He cried. And my wife was, why did you do that? And I said, because that smack on the hand didn't hurt nearly as much as the 220 volts in that outlet if he had conducted it to himself. And how do I know that? Because I worked in electronics, and I've been shocked before, and it's not fun. But this is the world that we live in now. We live in a world where people want to hear things that make them feel good about who they are. It makes them, they want a gospel that makes them feel good about their friends. We want a gospel that makes us feel like everybody's okay. And by the way, if everybody's okay, then guess what we don't have to do? We don't have to tell anybody they're wrong. We're off the hook. Because we don't have to correct anything. We don't have to tell people, no, that's not okay. Because we're all okay, right? He says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he should be accursed. He said, and as we have said before, I'm going to say it again now. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've received, he is to be accursed. Now, if you go through the New Testament, you know what the primary, singular, greatest problem we see in the letters of the apostles? It's dealing with false teachers. It's dealing with false, and it hasn't changed a bit. And so here's the question. Okay, here's the question. How do you know a truth from the lie? How can you tell? Now, we have this fantastic thing. You're probably going, what is that? That's my Bible. You can't tell because the Bible's all, it's all rubbed off because I've been using this Bible so long. So it just looks like a big brown cover, but I promise you there's a Bible in here. And I've been teaching the Bible for 38 years. And you know what I have to do all the time? I have to go back in there and look stuff up. I have to check stuff. Sometimes I'll hear stuff. I've developed this really bad habit now where I will scroll Facebook and look for people to argue with theology about. It's completely unprofitable, but boy, it's fun. It is so much fun. And I'll get out, you know, and it's like, there's something about casting your pearls before swine. I'm sure that probably applies to this. But when I'm bored, it is entertaining to just sit in the recliner and go, that's a good one. And let me throw my 2 cents in on this chat discussion. But there are times I'll read stuff and I'm like, I need to fact check that. Because somebody will quote a verse. And I'm like, let me check this verse. Let me see if this verse is really in there. You know what I found out sometimes? Sometimes the verse they quote isn't even in there. Now, Winford would already know that. But I have to look it up. And sometimes I'll look it up and it's like, it's just misquoted or used out of context. But I have to check things. Okay? Let me give you some advice. If you hear someone say something scripturally that you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure if that sounds right, check it. And by the way, just so there's no confusion, you should do that with me. If I get up one Sunday and preach something and you're like, I don't know about that, that doesn't sound right. And some of you are going, sure, that's a lot. You should check. And by the way, have I ever been wrong in a sermon? Yes, I've had people tell me, Stuart, you quoted this verse, but that's not the verse it was supposed to be. And I'll go back and look it up and go, oh, you're right, I'm sorry. I have given retractions before. I try not to have to do it very often, but everybody's wrong sometime. But if I got up here one Sunday, and here's what terrifies me, if I got up here one Sunday, and by the way, I have a friend who did this once. I had a friend who got up one Sunday and preached an entire sermon from a verse of scripture that didn't exist. And he did it to see if anyone would catch it. And guess what? Nobody caught it. Nobody caught it. How's that possible? By the way, cleanliness is next to godliness? Not in there. I know, Ethel, it should be. That's Ethel's favorite quote when I tell her something's not in the Bible. She's like, but it should be. By the way, you'd be amazed the number of people who say stuff like that. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it actually never says that anywhere in the Bible. But when you see things online or you hear them in a sermon, if you're visiting another church and you hear something, I don't care how good the minister sounds. I don't care how professional he is. If you hear something, you're like, I don't know. That's not what I've been taught. Let me go back and check. Now, sometimes you know what you may find out? You may find out that you were wrong and that what the person told you was right. That may happen sometimes. But sometimes it might be that the person who was teaching was wrong, whether intentionally or not, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't look at that. But here's what this comes down to. And here's why it's so important. And why Paul, when he addressed this issue with the Galatians, he was so upset by what was happening that he didn't even start the letter with, I got nothing but love for you, but he didn't even do that. He just launches into it because all the other issues that were happening in the other churches were problems of application, people not understanding how to apply Scripture. These people had departed from it. They had departed from it. And once you depart from it, anything goes. So here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Theology is confusing sometimes. We have made it more complicated, I think, than it needs to be sometimes in the church. Ministers, trust me, I get together with ministers and we argue over interpretations and stuff. But I want to be clear. The gospel is still the gospel. And when you start seeing people take the gospel and pervert it into something it's not, you should be able to pick up on that. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you should be able to pick up on that. And if you're not sure, email me or call some other minister, somebody you trust, somebody that you know is knowledgeable. Check with somebody. Fact check this stuff. Don't just believe it, because there are going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day who are going to stand before God, and this is going to be their excuse. But they said... Any of you ever get in trouble for something somebody told you you had permission to do that you didn't? I got in trouble with that stuff all the time. Because my friends would say, oh, I talked to your dad. He said it was fine. I was like, oh, cool. Now, why did I believe it? Why didn't I call dad and ask him? You know why I believed it? Because I wanted to. I wanted to believe it. I wanted to believe I could go do that. And then I was like, one of the worst beatings I ever got was for something a friend of mine said was okay. And when I told Dad, I said, you going to beat him too? And Dad said, he's not my problem. You're my problem. When you stand before God someday, the truth is going to matter. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Not through the me you wish I was or the me somebody told you I was, but the real me. We need to become more knowledgeable in the gospel so that we can recognize the truth from a lie. I'll ask the praise team if they would to come and lead us in our communion song this morning. And again, I would challenge you to do a better job at fact-checking the things that you see or hear that maybe are questionable about the gospel.